This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. So, the only thing left to say is, you win? Order now on the McDonald's app, and you can also get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus, rewards registration required. Points only on menu items. Delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
The pensioners are back, but with no walking sticks in sight. They're carefree, wherever they may be. They're the famous CFC. Blue is their colour and football is their game. If you come to Stamford Bridge, you'll remember their name. It's the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport.
You've just given one away.
No, but not on air.
Yeah, we are on air.
Yeah, but what do they know we're talking about?
Nothing. Who knows?
Who knows?
Gordon Davis is a wonderful bootmaker.
Yeah, it's exactly it. It's what I was talking about. Yeah, yeah.
Good evening, it's Love Sport.
No, Gordon McDavis.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah.
Inventor of the hamburger. Good evening. It's Love Sport Radio with the Chelsea fan cast. I hope you're well. I hope you're healthy.
No, I'm not.
Joining us this evening, JK is in the building.
Hello, everybody.
You all right?
I'm a bit ill tonight, but whatever goes.
He's put on, you know, the typical, I don't think I'm going to make it into their voice.
Yeah, it was worse than that, wasn't it, actually?
Yeah.
Pathetic. You know? Pathetic.
Anyway, so if I don't last...
You know, we just need...
Man up, for God's sake.
Just behind you, you just need the beep, beep.
Yeah.
You know, the little voice. Just Stamford Chitch.
Hello, mate. You
all
right?
How are you, mate?
Yeah, I'm good.
You've been quite busy with your media duties this week.
Always busy with my media. I'm going to have to get an agent, Aaron.
You are.
Do you want to be my agent?
Not really.
Really?
Do you want my agent to be your agent?
No.
Fair enough.
Clearly.
I'll be your agent.
No, I know your agent. Maybe I'll give him a ring. He's good. I like him.
Yeah, not,
I've had a drink
for,
or three with
not
him.
Not for booking things for for radio stations.
So he doesn't listen to the show, so you could say what you really mean.
He doesn't even know who I am.
Never actually met you.
Brilliant.
Yeah. He's like Estelle from Friends.
Yes.
JK. Yeah. It's like Dave.
That's right. He's got that kind of voice.
Yeah.
That's right. He used to live in Shepherd's Bush, an Aquisbar Rangers fan, but he's got that kind of voice.
You sound like someone that we both know, but I'm telling you the break.
Okay.
Anyway, this is Love Sport Radio with your Chelsea fan cast. Good evening.
Thank you for joining.
Guten Abend. Let's look back at a week in sort of Chelsea history. We're not gonna touch too much.
You're gonna tell us what's coming up on the show today.
We'll tell you what's coming up on the show.
All right.
You know,
we're looking. What's coming
shall
up
I be
on
patient?
The show tonight?
Be patient.
Okay, I'll be patient.
We're looking back at PAOK.
Poke.
Looking ahead to Fulham.
Yep.
And I mean, I would like to shout about the Chelsea Football Club giving out 4,000 free scarves at the Wimbledon check and trade game.
Really?
Yeah.
Tell us more.
I've just picked up a bit from the Wimbledon sort of internal, you know the forums where Chelsea are apparently to 4,000 fans are giving out free scarves if you go to watch the Czech trade.
When's this?
The Czech trade game's next week, isn't it?
The free
under 21s.
They're free, right. Chelsea scarves or free Wimbledon?
Free
scarves?
Chelsea scarves. Chelsea.
So that'd be foolish, wouldn't it? Be Wimbledon scarves.
Yeah. Where are they playing that?
That's a good question. That's a good question. Yeah. I can't imagine it'll be at King's Meadow.
Aldershot, I reckon. Maybe they don't play at the Bridge, do they? For those.
They have done.
Yeah.
4th of December. It's Stamford Bridge.
Is it really?
It's at the Bridge. Yeah. I presume when they're limiting it to 4,000, that means they're going to open one stand.
That's right. That's what they do.
So they're going to open one stand and everyone gets a free scarf.
What date is that?
The 4th of the 12th.
4th of the 12th?
Yeah.
Sounds as if I might be there.
Will you be attending?
Yeah, I might have to go alone without my man.
You might also have to go and sit with everybody.
Oh, yeah, man. No, I don't think you need hospitality.
I'm definitely not attending.
The Great Unwashed.
Oh, I forgot all about that. Oh, God. Well, all right. Well, I don't know what I'll do. I'll stand outside, listen to the roar. Yes.
we'll have a bit of a Chelsea quiz as well. But let's look back.
Can I tell people about the Chelsea quiz?
If you do want,
because I'm excited.
We can. I mean, are we coming
all right,
back?
Shall I be patient?
Be patient, Jid. Okay. Be patient. Let's just touch on last week against Spurs. It didn't work for Maurizio Sarri. Spurs got it right. Pochettino got it right. Anything else to add?
Yeah, loads.
Masses. But I reckon that if the penalty had been given, which was a bizarre decision considering he was inches away from the incident, Chelsea were just coming back into it, would have given a completely different perspective on the game. And then we wouldn't have had the bizarre Kane goal where everybody was taken by surprise when they shouldn't have been. But they played much better than Chelsea. But Chelsea over the last few weeks have spent the first, as we've talked about on the programme, the first 15 minutes not being good.
Well, yeah.
But then slowly but surely dominating the game.
But. There's a but
it's
coming,
a big
John.
But.
There's a but coming.
Yeah.
Centre Brian Moore, only 15 minutes ago. They shell-shocked us. They were at us with such intensity.
Yes.
We're 2-0 down after 15 minutes. And I don't think we ever really recovered. Although 2-0 down at half-time, we get a goal back, we're in the game, aren't
we? Yes, but we didn't look like getting
it.
We
never looked like getting it.
Other than that little moment when the penalty was should have been.
You know, I think, and we'll talk about this a bit later, I think, but I think what's been really interesting, now a little bit of time has died down, is how the debate and the narrative has moved on all week. And, complete meltdown, wasn't there?
Ludicrously over-the-top meltdown. Still is.
Yeah.
I've got to admit.
Dribbling on.
You know, social media after that game was as a Chelsea fan, you wouldn't really want to be there. It just probably irritates. I'd imagine you guys irritate you, and I know you're not ones for sitting and scrolling on social media after the games immediately.
Oh no, I scroll, but I don't engage.
Not worth it.
You're a voyeur.
Keep your powder dry.
I am a voyeur.
And
stalker.
Don't be too passionate. My despair has been that it's almost as if there's any opportunity for people to say all the youth must play. And this is once again an absolute storm of people saying the first team should be Ampadu, Christensen.
Yeah.
I don't know where they fit, actually. Hudson-Odoi.
Yeah.
Abraham, of course, scoring the four goals for Nottingham Forest was similarly the timing couldn't. Sorry, for Villa, I should say. The timing couldn't have been worse because immediately, get him back now. Get him up front instead of both Giroud and Morata. And you want to go, hey, look, guys, come on. He's playing in the Championship. Come on. Bamford was great for Borough in the Championship, won Championship Player of the Year. Couldn't then play the following year. Let's keep perspective on this. But everybody who hasn't been playing in the first team, and also the worst one was sack Sarri now.
Well, yeah, but that's how it's kind of split. The later on we've gone in the week, you get those who are pinning it on the players and those who are pinning it on the managers. But I think, Chelsea has become, in terms of, I'm only really going from social media, to be fair, but it's become a very black and white, supporter base.
What was
hasn't
that? Complete. What was that? Those tweets about Yada.
Oh well, I'll explain that.
You're
going to
get
later.
Onto that.
Yeah,
good.
I will. Can I plug my quiz now?
Yeah, plug your quiz.
Sure. Are you sure?
Isn't it too early for the quiz?
No. I'm just going to plug it.
Oh, it's plugging it.
It's what they do on professional radio, Jonathan.
Really?
Yeah, amazingly enough.
Goodness me.
Anyway, no. You might remember, Aaron. You might remember that when we played United, I dug out all the players that played for United and Chelsea.
Yeah.
And we had a little bit of fun with that later in the show, didn't we?
Well, I wouldn't say fun. I was embarrassed.
Well, I know. Well, I've done it again. I've done it again, but this time for Fulham and Chelsea. So okay. players who have played for both teams.
Okay.
There are...
How many?
31 players.
Oh, we've got quite the list.
31 players that have played for both Chelsea and Fulham. There are some on that list that I've never
got,
even
I've
heard
of. I've got a few in the round.
Two that I had wouldn't really...
I've got a classic one.
Well, hold your fire. Fire, man. Because what I want people to do, I want the listeners to either phone up on 0208 70 20 558 or... tweet at Love Sport Radio or tweet at Chelsea Fancast and let us know what they think those 31 players are.
Could they tweet
or who they are,
at Stamford Chidge?
Well, they could, but I can't look at two accounts at the same time.
The slight issue with that is that we have to correspond them on the right forms and stuff like that. They have to be processed in the right way. So if they tweet at Stamford Chidge, they might not go into the right pot.
Is that your...
the person who does my Twitter account would be confused.
Invisible secretary.
That's it, Morris. I'm going to let you know that the two that I'm thinking of right now, in fact, the three I'm thinking of, are all Scrabble big winners. They're big winners on Scrabble. Ollie Harbaugh comes next. Let's see if he can think of a few as well.
He'll know them all, don't
he? He's going to be talking Mirzia Sarri with us.
On the wing.
558 AM. Love Sport. This is Love Sport.
Yeah, this is Love Sport Radio. Good evening. Let's talk now to our good pal, Ollie Harbaugh. He's going to be giving us his thoughts on Pauok and Spurs. Evening, Ollie.
Evening, guys. How are we?
Yeah, very well. Thanks. Very well. I'm joined by Chidge and JK. Of course, we have to start off with one question. There was no presser today, I presume. So what was Sarri's vibe this week?
It was quite an interesting one, actually. It really... after the defeat at the weekend, he had his pre-Pauk press conference on Wednesday. And sometimes these Europa League ones can be a little bit flat because there's a lot of media from different nations as well, and they can always just be a little bit flat at the times. But actually, he was very, very good in for a journalistic way anyway. He was quite open about what has gone wrong. I think the thing is about what happened at Spurs is, for him, it's a few weeks of bubbling under the surface of something that he's been talking about for quite a while, and the defensive phase, as he likes to put it. And while they were on an unbeaten run, you know, drawing games, winning games, it didn't really go into the stratosphere, if you like, of maybe what people had been seeing. They all thought it was just, you know, it was all fine, everything was fine. And then what happened at Spurs was really his moment of going, well, look, this is what I've been talking about. And it was his time to let loose a little bit on his players. And he kind of did do that. He sort of highlighted Kante as well a little bit in the pre-Pauk press conference, and talking about how he didn't like the position he was playing in. And there has been a lot of talk about where Kante should be playing. And he's made it clear that Kante's not really playing the role that he wants him to play yet either, which is quite interesting.
Ollie, Chidge here. How are you, mate? You all right?
Hello, mate. I'm good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, thanks. I'm good. I'm intrigued by that. I think he got quite a lot of flack for doing that in some quarters. And I think on the surface, it looked like a bit of a low blow, if you like. I wondered, in a sense, whether Sarri got a sense of the absolute, you know, madness that was going on after that game, because it became very kind of black and white, didn't it? You know, Jorginho versus Kante. Why shouldn't Kante play in the direct defensive midfielder role and all of that? So I wonder if, in a sense, he was kind of conscious of that and was pushing back a bit. You think so?
I agree. I think that there's a lot of talk in the media, fans, whatever, about the fact that pundits that Kante should be playing that role. I mean, let's get it right. Kante will not be playing that role anytime soon.
Absolutely
not. I think fans have to get it out of their head that he will be playing that role, or that it will happen. If anyone takes that role from Jorginho, it's going to be Fabregas.
Yeah, that's what he said, isn't it?
Sarri's made that perfectly clear. It's a different kind of role. I think what he's kind of alluding to is that, you know, there has been talk about this change of formation, which I wouldn't mind seeing. I think Kante playing next to Jorginho could work a bit better.
He kind of made that point, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. Yeah. And what he's trying to say is, when they don't have the ball, that's kind of the formation that he wants Kante to be playing in anyway, and that he wasn't doing that.
That
we'll have to say. Sorry, I spoke over you.
But he was actually saying that he should have been playing that way. And it, the unfortunate image we have of Son going down the wing and Jorginho running after him as if he's wearing diver's boots should never actually have taken place, because he shouldn't have been that far advanced, Kante. He should have been in a position to get back and nip the ball away from Son. That was the impression that I got, that he's saying that he's almost his minder, and he ought to have been aware of that. And he's actually been... not doing the plan by going forward and being this attacking force that we've seen him in. In actual fact, that's not how he wants
him to play.
But
then again, Sarri's been criticising him in the past for, you know, not being an attacking force enough. So I'm feeling a bit of sympathy for Kante in some respects, because you can't have it both ways, surely.
It seems to...
I agree with Chidge on that respect. I think that it has been slightly mixed messages, and I think that people have to realise that Kante is still learning this role. I mean, he was... The shame for me is that Kante was the best defensive midfielder in the world for two, maybe three seasons. And now we're seeing a player that's just on the fringes of matches, that isn't controlling matches, isn't dominating matches like he used to. And it's going to take a little bit of time for him to get back into that. I mean, he's the only player in the Chelsea team, I think, that has the engine to be able to play the role that Sarri really wants him to play. And at the moment, it's just not quite there. And,
no, I think it was stated on the television, he's now just looking like a not great midfielder rather than the best defensive midfielder.
Carragher pitched in with that,
that's
didn't
what he? Said, yeah.
Yeah. Ollie, just to kind of move it on a tad, I think I remember that another thing that Sarri was talking about was Hazard, and he has concerns there. And I have to be honest, I've wondered if basically Hazard's been carrying a few kind of, you know, what I would call knocks, niggly injuries since the United game, because, you know, the punishment that gets meted out to him game after game is criminal in a sense. So I wonder if he is getting a bit worn down by it. Is that what Sarri's concern was?
Yeah, it was. I mean, obviously now I think Hazard's not scored for club and country in 9 games. So the question was put to him about if that was a worry rather than the injuries. And then Sarri sort of said, well, he's not worried about Hazard. He's worried about the injuries that he's picking up. I think that's absolutely right. You know, he didn't have a pre-season, obviously. He came straight from the World Cup. He had his, you know, set 3 weeks off that he's allowed to have. And he came straight back into action. And I know he was eased into the action, you know, coming off the bench. But, you know, he's shown some great durability over the years. But it will take its toll. You know, he's a player that always plays on the edge. And he always gets... You know, we've talked about it plenty of times before. He gets targeted by teams at times. He gets battered left, right and centre. He's going to pick up these little bit of injuries. And the problem is, his game is kind of tailored to him being at 100% fitness, because he's all about dynamism. He's all about having the ball at his feet, running at defenders, making it difficult for them. And if he's not feeling 100% fit, if his back's hurting, which we did have the problem after the Manchester United game, and then now the ankle injury that could be a worry that he picked up in the Spurs game, you know, that is really going to affect him, and you're not going to see the Hazard that we all, you know, really want him to see, and the one that Sarri said will get 40 goals this season.
Well, yeah, absolutely. I mean, I'm very worried about Hazard and the treatment he gets, Sully. Look, very quickly, Ollie, another thing I read this week, I think it came from your good self, actually, or may have done, but there's a weird rumour going around that Callum Hudson-Odoi, who, of course, I thought played really, really well last night, but there's a rumour that Bayern Munich are interested in him. Is there any credence to that?
Yeah, that is something we have heard. I mean, I wrote something about it, and the fact that I just don't think a move to Bayern Munich is, you know, a sensible choice. I mean, the fact remains that he's had an offer, 5-year deal, on the table for quite a while now, but he's been reluctant to sign it because he doesn't see where his first team chances will come at Chelsea, which is a kind of fair enough assessment if you look at the past for some youth players.
Yeah.
You know, and also you're looking now at the likes of Jadon Sancho going across, who is, you know, and we're now talking about Brahim Diaz from Manchester City, another player who's thinking about maybe, I think he's been linked with Real Madrid. You know, these young guys are now taking these risks and going abroad and finding a different route for their first team football. And Hudson-Odoi, it's a serious concern. It really is. You know, they're not going to send him out on loan until he signs a new deal. He's only got 18 months left in his current contract. And if he doesn't put pen to paper, then, you know, there'll be a plenty of clubs. I know RB Leipzig is another team that have been looking at him. There'll be plenty of clubs looking to snatch him up, no doubt about it.
Interesting stuff.
We'll take JK, do you have one?
I just wonder whether he actually fits in Sarri's setup. That's always seems to be the his excuse at the moment, Sarri, because he was damning of him, saying he needs to improve defensively and he needs to, he's good at beating one player, but he needs to be better in, he needs to be all-round improved, really. And I just wonder whether Sarri's view of what his game plan is doesn't actually include some of these players that are from the youth who are being touted, because they don't quite fit into this big idea that he has.
Yeah, I mean, you have to remember he is only 18. I mean, that's the one thing about it. And I think the frustrating thing for me is seeing how good he was last night is the fact that he could have started every Europa League game this year, no doubt about it. And that's the one frustrating element is that he should really have had 5 starts under his belt now this season rather than 1 start and 2 late appearances off the bench. I mean, if he'd started over Willian, if he'd started over Moses, if he started over Pedro, would it have made too much difference against Vidi, Bate and Pauk? I don't really think so. I think that's the element now. And we're looking at, from now until the end of the season, he might only get 1 more start for the rest of the year, and that will be against Vidi in Budapest. I'm sure he'll start that. I mean, I can't see him starting the Carabao Cup quarterfinal. I can't see him really, if they get a tough draw in the third round of the FA Cup, starting that either.
He might have been told already, actually, according to Simon Johnson in The Standard, Sarri is telling players what games they will probably be playing in. He's done this to Fabregas already.
Yeah, absolutely, and I just think that when you've got an 18-month contract left, and you think this might be the future, this is the way it's going to go, then he's got a tough decision ahead of him. And you know, for me, he has to be a player that Chelsea nail down for the future, because he is a very, very exciting talent. And you say about could he fit into Sarri's system in a few years' time? He definitely could do.
Brilliant stuff, Ollie. Thank you so much for joining us this evening, pal. We're going to have to rush to a quick break. Ollie Harbord there with us on your Chelsea Fancast.
Love Sport Radio, the station giving fans a voice. This is Love Sport.
Bob Usray has tweeted us in. Barbie?
Oh, good old
Bob. You know Barbie?
Yeah, we know Bob.
He's tweeted out last sport and said, have Spuds released the DVD yet?
I believe it's due out tomorrow, actually, Bob. Yep. So I'm told. Cut down price, £3.99 to you. But you can't get an NTSC version, mate, so sorry.
There you go.
There you go.
Thank you very much. Available on Betamax from your regular...
2-inch quad.
We used to have a guy who used to deliver videos at the back of an ice cream van.
Yeah.
Very common around where we live.
I've got about 600 Betamaxes.
Have you?
Yeah. I've got this really clunky, ancient device just to record myself in Pipkins.
Brilliant stuff. Where are we going? She's just shaking his head. Are we talking Powock again?
It's one of my favourite shows when I was a kid, actually. Not Powock, but Pipkins.
Should we pick up on the Powock?
Yes. Well, yeah, because actually it's quite a good segue. Anybody would have thought a man of intelligence had written this running order. Oh, it was me. That's right. But anyway, Ollie was talking about Hudson-Odoi. And actually, all fair, Jonathan and I were already beginning to disagree.
We almost came to blows.
Well, not quite yet.
No, metaphorically.
We're too old, really.
Yeah, we don't do that. No, yeah, I don't.
We shout at each other occasionally.
I'd hide under the table.
But, you know, I think, to be fair to the young man... He did pretty much everything that was asked of him, I think, yesterday, considering he's been, you know, kept behind, as it were, you know, not really given many opportunities, if any, this season. I thought he did okay. And I do get the point that people make that was, oh, for goodness. And they were a pub team, weren't they?
Oh.
They were horrendous. Even before the sending off, which completely made it game over.
He was the Ukrainian international who was the bloke who was sent off.
I'd go as far as calling him an absolute shower.
Stinkers, a lot of
but
them.
But they're a poor side, and people are saying, oh, well, you know, anybody can do it against a poor side. But I actually think that the comparison shouldn't be Hudson-Odoi against Pauk, it should be how he was doing compared to other Chelsea players on the pitch. And I thought he had a good game. I thought he put in a lot of crosses, something that we don't see enough of the first
team. Which were good. His crossing was very good.
Which helped Giroud immensely. Yeah.
Giroud's second goal, by the way.
Absolutely.
Wow.
He's got pace to burn. But you were saying to me that you don't think he does enough, or something like that.
No, I was saying that he dribbles straight into players. He doesn't avoid them enough. Mm. And he's been and Sarri's been critical of him. Sarri has said clearly he doesn't fit into Sarri's system yet.
But who the hell does fit into blooming Sarri's system? None of them do. Apparently,
Napoli certainly do. Bloody hell! Look at Napoli at the moment.
He nearly
fantastic.
Had to use the dump button. Then.
Yeah,
it was that close.
But no, but I always look at Napoli deliberately to think this is what Chelsea will
there,
become.
Then.
I've never been
not
there.
Not you.
No, I've been
him.
No, I have been there actually. I'm talking about. But but that's not fair. He's trying to create the same situation as if he was at Napoli. Napoli are fabulous.
Yeah.
They're a fabulous team. Yeah. And the ridiculous statement that Klopp said, in Anfield, it's going to be difficult for them. And Ancelotti said, I'm worried about Atalanta at the weekend.
That's, great put down.
Yeah, great put down. Great put down.
Can I just interject there, please?
Please do. It is your role to interject.
They may be a fabulous team. Well, you know what? Brilliant. He played great football there.
Fantastic.
However, they still ain't won nothing.
Yeah.
What are you suggesting that under Sarri, Chelsea won't win anything?
But he needs to win something.
No, but he was getting there and he was lured away, wasn't he?
Let's not go down this road yet because I want to really hammer that later.
Anyway, my thing about, he's actually said about Hudson-Odoi that he doesn't come up to his expectations yet. But as you say, he's 18. I agree. However, I don't think that we should get carried away with him scoring a goal, good for him, and playing well against a team that was absolutely useless, other than their crowd, who were brilliant.
I'm really, really...
Their fans.
I'm not. Okay. I'm just saying that I think he did, you know, what should have been expected of him.
Yeah, yeah. No, I agree.
I enjoyed it.
He came up to it. As did... Loftus-Cheek.
Well, I was going to say, actually, because,
that's the best I've seen Loftus-Cheek
play. Bang on. And you know what really impressed me about Loftus-Cheek last night? Yeah. It was his dynamism. I mean, he was the intensity to the game. Yeah. He was not that languid, lethargic
player.
He's
as hard to shrug off the ball as Hullet ever was.
Absolutely.
That's a very important characteristic as well these days. Yeah. Players that don't lose it. I mean... Yeah. It's so important, you know, and I think he's an asset.
That's the first time I've seen him play as... I know, once again, they're dreadful, but it's still people throwing themselves at him, and they bounced off him.
Yeah, they did.
And he went through, and he then played that lovely final ball.
Yeah.
It was very...
two great shots he got
very
away
good.
As well.
Very impressive.
I did see you latching onto a post about double-barreled name footballers as well.
Yes, I did. I only got one right, though. I couldn't remember any others. Yeah. Oh, Rhodes Brown.
Yeah.
It just shows us.
There was another one. Was that chap who played for Nottingham. Bloke who played for Nottingham. Bart
Williams.
Bart Williams is a good one.
Yeah. No.
Chris Bart Williams.
Yeah. Ian Storymore.
That's the one. Yeah. But the thing is, it just shows how, you know, families are breaking up every day. Really. Sometimes.
Is that what it is?
Well, yeah. You know, you just.
So they might have been out of wedlock.
Nothing intended by that, who I'm about to refer to on that past point, but there is a triple-barreled name, too, in football. Ian Wright.
That's a very good one.
Yeah.
Well, the Wright Phillips is.
Wright Phillips.
Don't ever forget the Wright Phillips.
Mentioned earlier.
You know.
Yeah, this is your Chelsea fan cast. Don't forget your quiz coming up a little bit later on. Get your dibbers, your dabbers, your dobbers.
What is it, Aaron?
The quiz.
What is the quiz?
Well, it's how many players, or not how many players.
No,
can you name
31.
Can you name those 31 players that have played for both Chelsea and Fulham?
That's right. And what have they got to do? Phone up.
Or tweet.
Yeah.
But don't tweet at Stamfordshire. Tweet at Love Sport Radio or at
Chelsea Fancast.
Thank you very much. Or give us a call on
0208 70 20 558.
I was waiting for Kiddo.
I did.
He's not even looking.
Yeah, that was my kid impression for the last 558.
Kiddo,
very quickly before we carry on talking about Pawok.
Hello, somebody speaking to me.
How was hospitality last night, pal?
Oh, one relished hospitality last night. Oh,
wait, was it cold last night?
It was coldish.
Yeah, it was wet,
sufficiently
very
cold
wet
for me. And then we got. I came to watch a few minutes of the game, and the spray from the rain came over the front row.
Oh,
so,
yeah.
So I left very quickly.
And, did you really?
I went back to the hearth, to the fires, open fires, allowed Sopwith to watch the game for me, and then he told me what had happened afterwards. He said, that Loftus-Cheek boy was very good. People bounced off him like Hullet, he said. Mm.
Excellent.
You mentioned a minute ago, or we mentioned, to be fair, didn't we, about the crosses, and I joked with Dan, because I was, you know, Dan,
of course.
Dan, as always
got you the ticket.
Always gets me the cup tickets, because as always, I forget.
Yeah.
And what would I do without him? But I'll tell you who else we met last night. Dennis, or also known as the Complaints Department on Twitter.
Yes.
Who's got a funny little podcast that he does. He was there. His flight got delayed, so he only turned up for the second half. But anyway, so we were saying this too, and I jokingly said, blimey, Dan, we've put in more crosses this match than we have for the entire season. Because we haven't, but it felt like that. And, oh, what a surprise. Giroud scores two, and Morata scores
comes
one.
On, scores with a spanking header.
Morata's goal was cracking, but I thought Giroud was fantastic.
What a bizarre non-celebration from Morata.
Well, yes, indeed.
What's that all about?
Well, I read a bit about this today, and apparently he looked quite sulky about the fact that, I think that was the intimation in the article, so it could be all bunkum, but the intimation was that he was quite sulky that Giroud had scored two, which of course puts Morata back under pressure. But you're right, I thought his reaction to scoring was quite odd, you know.
But Giroud was annoyed to come off because he wanted a hat-trick, which was
absolutely
fair enough.
Yeah, absolutely fair enough.
That second goal, I'll go on about it, but...
Go on about it, Jonathan.
Wow. Fabregas. Just
what a pass.
What a pass.
Yeah.
And
what a finish.
Oh, what a phenomenal finish.
Yeah.
Top finish. Top,
superb.
Top
goal.
Player.
Yeah.
He really is.
I thought that was actually interesting because, you know, one thing you know, this was mentioned in all the brouhaha about Jorginho and Kante and all of that. And somebody was making this point about Fabregas that, you know, he is as, you know, adept at being the quarterback, if you like, in the side. He's got no pace and he can't defend.
But as we've discovered, neither has Jorginho.
Exactly. Yeah. But what he can do that Jorginho doesn't do is to pick passes like that.
Yeah.
He will go the aerial route.
But he needs to be
protected. Whereas Jorginho plays it on the ground.
They both need to be protected. But we found out, I thought Jorginho was more sprightly, but clearly not.
No, he's not a runner. But I think you saw that. Actually,
you don't
last
see
night.
Those big passes from Jorginho.
No, that's
you?
My point.
Yeah, you just, he's much
what
more,
I just said, Jonathan.
I'm getting the bigger picture.
You're processing
of this.
It.
Yeah,
I can see.
Yeah,
it's going, you can see the cogs going round as we speak. Actually.
So what's happening? And then it became a chicken.
Sound like a Sinclair C5.
Very much so. But no, it was actually like an Amstrad from about 35 years ago. Then if you wanted to go to another page, you'd put in, it said, you know, find page, and it'd be on page 2. You want page 35? It would go like the TARDIS. And 10 minutes later, it would find page 35 for you.
That sounds like one of the noises you used to make in the animation demo.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Oh, please. I've only got four voices that I do. Four noises. And that was one of them. Anyway,
what did you think of Morata's haircut?
Oh, yeah, he's become very butch,
hasn't he?
He's
gone skinhead.
He's gone skinhead.
Less a fet.
Yeah, yeah. No, he still looks pretty boy, doesn't he?
He's a pretty boy,
yeah,
to be fair.
He can't help
know.
It.
I just thought it was quite interesting that he's got a bit of a skinhead haircut.
Perhaps he's trying to be butcher.
But maybe he's read my article,
what I wrote last week. Everybody's read your article.
Well, apart from me, because I didn't realise they'd put it up.
Can I ask, what did you think about everybody being given 10 minutes by Sarri after the Spurs game?
10 minutes what? Out?
Chat. He chatted to all of them.
Did he?
Yeah.
Mate, I'd have been in there with an hour for each of them. And blows may have been received. Teacups may have been thrown.
I think he asked them questions like, you know, why did you not
why
make
are you
effort?
So flaming useless?
No, I think he said there was a complete group disintegration of determination and the plans
they
supposed
apart,
to have.
They absolutely fell apart.
Why did they come onto the stage at the beginning, the theatre of dreams early on?
Listen, I want to talk about the Europa League draw, because I found out some very interesting stuff today, because I had
a
what I call a boring day.
Yes.
So I thought I'd do Paddy's job for him, you see.
Oh, good. Good work.
Yeah, well, Paddy appreciates
that. What was Paddy up to?
Oh, he's having a kip and a cigar,
well,
I think.
Well, fair enough.
But anyway.
He works very hard.
He does, and I love him to pieces, which is why I don't mind doing this. But basically, we are seeded, as you know. We're one of the top seeds, in fact. Now, what happens now is the eight sides who finish third in the Champions League group stage drop into the Europa League. The third place finishers with the best records in the group stage will be seeded along with the 12 Europa League group winners, which include us and Arsenal. And the remaining four third place Champions League sides are unseeded together with the 12 Europa League group runners-ups. With me so far?
Not really.
Nor am I. I've lost the plot as well. Now, this is where it gets interesting, because the third place Champions League sides are Club Brugge, Inter Milan, Liverpool, Galatasaray.
At the moment
with one game to go, Galatasaray, Benfica, Shakhtar Donetsk, Pilsen and Valencia. So, you know, we could get Liverpool if they lose to Napoli, which I think they will.
Well, we can play them this early on, can we?
Well, that's what I'm getting at. That's what everybody's saying. We won't get Liverpool. And we also, of course, might get Tottenham if they screw up against Barcelona, which they will.
Of course they will.
But that's the thing. We can't play Spurs or Liverpool until we get to the last 16. That's the earliest time we can play them.
Yeah.
So there you go. So that's interesting. What else can I tell you? The draw for the round of 32 is on 17th of December. So there you go.
Got a couple of draws coming. I've got the FA Cup third round on Monday night. I always love the FA Cup third round draw.
Third round
big fan of that.
It
7
always
o'clock
used to
Monday
be
night.
At 12:30 on a
it
Monday.
It did as well.
And I loved that.
I used to remember, you know,
we used to smuggle the transistor radio into school and try and listen on a little headset in the ear.
It's always radio, wasn't it?
Always.
Yeah.
Always.
So
and
true.
You do it in the middle of a lesson at 12:30 and you just sneak it in your ear. And you then,
anybody
you
who's then, watched the Football Factory would be sitting there going, come on, let it be Millwall. Let it be Millwall.
Yeah.
And then they went and they realised what they wished they had.
My old boss was actually doing the on Football Factory.
Yeah.
He did like the preview to that game on the radio as if like, you know, they were on the radio.
Yeah.
He did the preview to it and
I had a lot of mates who were in
the less said about that the better.
Yeah.
What, the real Football Factory?
Yeah. DJ was in it.
Was he?
A few others that I know. Yeah, because of course they know John King, like I do. You know, John who wrote the original novel.
Yeah.
So a lot of Chelsea boys were in there. Anyway, enough. We're
going to take a short pause because we've got a caller on the line. Give us a call 0208 70 25 5, and we'll be back with Alan next.
This is Love Sport.
Yeah, another weekend of football is upon us right here, and where better to start on your Friday night than your Chelsea Fancast? We absolutely love it. Cardiff versus Wolves tonight. Wolves haven't been in good form. It's going to be interesting to see how they get on down at
We got them on Wednesday.
We'll be watching the game here in the studio. You can keep an eye on it.
We can
do
your scout report.
Yeah,
dib,
that's
dib, dob, dob. All that.
Arkayla,
oh, different kind of scout.
Arkayla will do our best.
We will.
I will always do
that
my
was
best.
Very wrong, the voice you did with that. I have to say, there was something very...
My scoutmaster was a guy called Pete Ferry.
Was it really?
I've got
it really was.
Terrible story to tell you about Boy Scouts, but I can't actually tell you on air.
No, not on air.
Right, let's go to the lines, because there's a gentleman on the line called Alan, and apparently Ozzy signed his broken leg. Hi, Alan.
Hello, Aaron. How are you?
I'm well, mate. I'm well. Good to have you on board with us. You're with JK.
Hello,
with
Alan.
Chidge
a delight.
Well.
A delight, mate. Lovely
hello,
to speak
hello.
To you.
It's been a long time. I've been looking forward for a chance to talk to you guys.
It's lovely to hear your voice, Alan. We see you in Mixlr every week, and you send us emails for the Monday night show. What a delight it is to hear your voice.
As Jonathan, it's a great chance to show off, you see, isn't it? Writing in emails and having them read out by Jonathan.
Yeah. Oh, Alan, that's a quid fantastic. I owe you, isn't it? No, it's tenner. Sorry.
Oh, you do a great job. I wanted to call in just because it's so many interesting things to talk about, but I'm going to pick Ethan Ampadu as someone to talk about because for all the fuss about Callum and all the fuss about Tammy Abrams and some of these other young players, Rubin and everyone, I think Ethan Ampadu is the real deal, and I can't wait for him to get more game time. I hope we manage him properly.
Did you notice that the first challenge he had, he practically crippled the poor bloke from Pauk? It just you think, God, he really tackles. He's really a hard man.
Well, there's so much to like about him. I mean, and this is such almost a childish thing. He put his hand up for the ball every time when he's on the.
He does playing. On the wing. You're right.
He came in right as for Zappacosta, didn't he? On the right as a right back. And he's putting his hand up, and of course, God bless Cahill. He does like the ball going backwards and forwards across the back four all the time. And Ampadu's hand was in the air. I'm here. Mm. But he is so gifted. He can play in the middle of a three or a four on as a fullback, which I didn't even know. And certainly in the middle of the park as well. And he's got such a tackle on him. He seems to really enjoy it.
You know, it reminded me. Yeah, I was thinking earlier on, actually, Alan. We were talking about... you know, Kante perhaps being a minder for Jorginho, or of course, and Hazard, of course, gets brutal treatment from the opposition. I was thinking in my head as that was going on, oh, for a Brian Robson in our side, who could mete out justice. And then it suddenly occurred to me while I was having that thought, Ethan Ampadu. You know, so basically we could use Ethan Ampadu as our justice
provider.
Where
does he play him? Instead of Dave?
I don't care.
Dave.
Whoever's likely to get kicked the most, we put Ethan Ampadu near them.
So
perhaps
he just stands behind Hazard and just kicks the referee.
Did you see that tackle he made for Wales? He got absolutely clattered himself by some Danish bloke.
Yeah.
Ten minutes later, he remembered who it was, and he went through him like a train. It was a joy to watch.
Yeah, I think he's had like five full games for Wales, and the one that I absolutely love was him taking out Sergio Ramos, you know, and here's this 17-year-old, 18-year-old guy, probably in his second international, takes out Sergio Ramos, and Ramos looks at him, and he actually just reaches down a hand to sort of say, right, mate, you know.
Yes, he's good at that. He did that several times with the Pout players last night as well after the challenge. He just sort of helped them up, or even they apologised. So he apologised to one bloke once, actually, after he kicked him up in the air. You just think, oh, my goodness me.
But we definitely need, everyone says we need a player like that, but there's so much more to him than that. He can pass, he's like a Hullet, really. He can pass the ball. I mean, obviously people say that because of his hair, but he's got that skill. He's got an engine. He's got such a talent and seems to be wise before his age. So I just pray we don't cock this one up, because I think he's got the lot, you know, more than any of the others, actually.
Where would you play him, do you think, though? That's the thing. Because, as you say, I was surprised to see him at right back, but he did well. And if Dave not been great, but, you know, what's his crossing like? Would he prefer to play him at centre-half? I don't think he's... Because he can play midfield as well. He's a very talented boy, isn't he?
I mean, you've kind of keep butting up against this in the show, that we've got the Sarri system and people have got to fit into it. And, of course... you know, where are the weak points? Well, you know, everyone was saying Luiz, you know, looked a bit ropey at the weekend, but he's probably not mature enough to play centre-back for a Premier League top team just yet. But how do they get this experience, you know, unless they do come off the bench maybe and play the last 15 minutes, you know, to start getting that experience?
No, I think it may happen, though, with this glut of fixtures that are taking place. I think it's very likely that we'll see him, because I think in the standard this evening, I'll repeat, Fabregas knows which games he's playing. He's not going to Milan, which was a ludicrous suggestion by the media, because he's obviously he's Jorginho's backup. But I think he's already giving them, working out what games they can play. They're obviously not the top games, but it means that they'll be playing in the Premier League just to give everybody a rest.
Just on that point about Fabregas and Jorginho, there was a brilliant podcast earlier in the year with Nate Chalabar talking about his time at Napoli. And he was talking about, you know, how brilliant Sarri was and how amazing the training was. But one thing he said stuck with me. He said, my job was to be Marek Hamšík's replacement. So I just had to be Marek Hamšík version 2 in case he ever got injured. And he never did. So that's why Chalabar didn't get that many games. But obviously, you know, Fabregas is Jorginho's replacement. But that's clearly how he plays. He's got his first team, which we all know he likes to stick at, and he's probably got in his mind, he will know if Luiz is injured or if Jorginho can't play, or, you know, whoever. Apart from William and Pedro just swap around, everyone else has probably got an alternate, you know, in reserve. So Sarri will probably know where Ampadu can play, but I thought that was absolutely fascinating.
Yeah, certainly. Alan, thank you so much.
Thanks,
for
mate.
Giving
Lovely
us a call. Apologies, we've got to rattle on, because we've got another call from LA, California. LA, yeah. Wolf Shields? Is Wolf Shields with us? Hello, pal.
Hi, how are you?
Yeah, good. Very well, thanks.
Aaron and Chidge and JK.
Yes. That's us, we're here.
Hello, mate.
Actually, not calling from LA, calling from Mexico. But
wow,
that's okay.
Our radar's not. It's just gone on the blink, really.
Yeah, the GPS has gone.
Paddy didn't do geography; did metalwork.
Brilliant. What can we do for you, mate?
I just wanted to ask what you guys thought about why young Emerson hasn't been used yet in the Premier games. I think he's a little bit quicker than Alonso, and I don't know, I'm starting to believe he's a better passer of the ball too.
And maybe a better defender.
Yeah, better tackler for sure.
Yeah, it's a good point. Weirdly though, he wasn't at his best last night in the Pauk game. Did you see the Pauk game?
I did.
Yeah.
But I thought he played well.
Yeah, I didn't think he was I mean, it's difficult, isn't it? Because they're such a poor side, Pauk. It's tricky. You wonder whether he's just seen them in training and decided that Alonso is the man. But once again, I'll repeat this. I think he'll get a chance because I think he'll change it. I don't think he'll change them drastically, but I think the odd person will be rotated just because of the. It'll be interesting to see what the Wolves side will be actually, just because of the volume of games that are coming up. How many is it? It's 32 or something.
I can't remember. It was about 15 in 60 days a week or two ago, wasn't it?
Yeah, yeah. So it's I don't think we have we seen him in a Premier League game? Well, not this season, obviously. Did we see him last season in a Premier League game? No, I don't think we did.
But he's better than Zappa Costa.
Oh yeah, blimey!
You know, I mean, I'm kind of with you on this, my friend, because I think heart of hearts. I think I'm a fan of Alonso, but I do accept that he's probably not the best defender, and also he lacks that pace to get back. And that was exposed last week against Spurs. And Emerson certainly has got a lot of pace, but I would certainly think that Alonso's got the edge on Emerson. But I think he's you know, there is a player there. I think
Sarri's saying things like he's one of the best. Alonso's one of the best full has the potential
well, he does,
to be one of the
yeah.
best fullbacks.
He's got amazing skill
in Europe. That you just think, well, is Emerson likely to have a go?
But put it around another way, if Alonso got injured, I wouldn't have a problem with Emerson coming in.
No, immediately.
If Aspie got injured, I would have a major problem with Zappa Costa coming in. Right? So that's how I would equate it. Does that make sense?
It does.
Yeah. You like that?
Good. Yeah, I agree.
Checks in the post then.
It's strange what JK said, but every time that Chelsea were caught short against Pajok yesterday, it was only Emerson that was one of the quickest ones back, and that's why I'm surprised that JK says he had a bad game yesterday.
Well, you know, Jonathan has much more exacting standards than me, as we all know. You know, he is a perfectionist, whereas I'm a realist. That's why we get on so well.
No, he gave the ball away a few. He was caught in possession a few times, and I remember noticing that and pointing it out to the person I was sitting next to, who's a Millwall fan, by the way, and it's called Ron.
Oh, Ron.
Yeah, old Ron. And Ron says things like, well, he's just not pushing up enough, are they? And he says that player there, pointing out Emerson, is not a proper player. He says, not quite yet, he says. He needs to get a few more games. But he was very appreciative of Giroud last night. He likes him. He likes him. Mm.
Looking forward to the weekend's fixture, Wolfshield?
I am. It's going to be a good game. We got the old coach coming back, and it's on a wee bit early. It's beyond.
Yeah.
What time is it? The morning.
6 o'clock. Oh, hell's teeth.
Yeah.
We were moaning a minute ago about it being 12 o'clock. I take it all back. 6 o'clock. That's unholy.
But I will be up.
Well, you needn't go to sleep, though. You could just, you know, add it on to the rest.
See, the thing is, if I did that, if I was to, because, I mean, you know, I've talked to a lot of my American friends, and they don't all go to and find a pub that's probably a 50-mile drive to go and watch the game. Most of them TVs, and they watch it in their bed, and I actually don't blame them. If that was me, and it was 6 o'clock in the morning, I'd be asleep within 10 minutes.
That's exactly the same.
So, you know, how do you counter that?
Well, I'm a huge Chelsea fan, and so any game, I mean, I'm even up to watch the youth team play. So, there's a big boxing fight on the previous night, too. So, Wilder and Fury. So
that's it.
that'll go for a bit. And no, I'll be fine. As that, I people in my house know. Oh my God, he's excited because Chelsea are about to play.
Well, Shields, we're gonna have to leave you there. Thank you so much for giving us a call.
Thank you, mate.
Do call again. We'd love to hear from you once again. Will Shields calling all the way from Mexico. There's a light show going on at the Cardiff City Stadium. They do those at Stamford Bridge now and then, don't they?
Yeah, but they're better than Cardiff.
Cardiff. Don't
that was
look.
Pathetic.
It just looks like someone
they
just
look like
playing
me
the
putting
switches.
My living room light, exactly.
Playing with the switches, exactly. Playing with the dimmer switch.
Pathetic.
But yeah, plenty on the way. We're going to have Chidge's quiz coming up. Do get involved at 0208 70 2558 at Love Sport Radio on Twitter. Going to start our preview to the Fulham game as well. A massive London derby. 12 o'clock on Sunday. Sunday lunchtime. Do let us know where you'll be watching and what you'll be doing for that one. This is Love Sport Radio, 558 AM, DAB online and via Alexa Smart Speaker. Plenty on the way this evening on your Chelsea Fancast, including Chidge's competition. Chidge.
Yes.
Tell us about your competition.
Well, basically, there are 31 players that have played for both Chelsea and Fulham. We want to know who they are.
At Love Sport Radio on Twitter, 0208 70 2558 is the number to call as well. We'll be back with more of your calls next.
On 558 AM, online, on your smart speaker, and on digital radio. This is Love Sport.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximise your home ground advantage with McDelivery. You in? Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Chidge.
JK. In all the years you've been following Chelsea, you hardly ever miss a match, home or away. But how would you feel if you couldn't be there and it's not on TV?
Oh, Chidge, I'd be bereft, inconsolable. The thought of missing my beloved Blue Boys live, it's all too much.
I know, JK, I know. It's all a bit too much, isn't it?
Yes.
Well, panic not. NordVPN have come to the rescue.
They have?
Yep. NordVPN allows us to watch any match, even if it's not on live TV here.
They do?
Yeah, they do. With just one click, they switch your virtual location to a country which is showing the match, and they act as your cyber bodyguard whilst online, protecting your personal data and sensitive info like card details and passwords.
Oh, wow. Great. But yeah, I bet that'll cost me a fortune.
Actually, JK, it's only the price of a cup of coffee per month, and you can use your account across 6 devices. It's a bargain, JK, and best of all, no more tears for you.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, NordVPN. I'm so happy. I could cry. Where do I sign up, Ginge?
Well, to get the best discount off your NordVPN plan, go to nordvpn.com/ChelseaFancast. There's no risk with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee, and you'll help support the Chelsea Fancast. The link is in the podcast episode description box.
The pensioners are back, but with no walking sticks in sight. They're carefree, wherever they may be. They're the famous CFC. Blue is their colour, and football is their game. If you come to Stamford Bridge, you'll remember their name. It's the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport. We'll be right back.
straight to the lines this evening. It's a Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport Radio. My name is Aaron Paul. He is JK. He featured on this record as well. And we've got Stamford Chidge in the building as well. He's got himself a little apple there.
But my mouth is empty of apple detritus, so I can speak.
The building.
I am the podfather.
What was that?
Stamford Chidge in the building.
Do you know what that's called on his demo? It's Evening Standard voice.
It was. Because I am breaking standard. News. Yeah, but I am breaking news.
Morning Stennett.
I'm breaking news. I broke it. Basically, I prefer Ewan, actually. He's very nice. He bigs me up, calls me the Chidgemeister.
Does he?
And he lets me smash him in the quizzes that they do on the breakfast show. Yeah. Okay. I absolutely hammered him. 6-1.
Anyway, going back. He's got no knowledge, he's got no fans.
No, he did admit that.
He's got no fans.
He's got no fans. Got no fans. He's got me.
Who's got a lot of fans is Mark from Cincinnati. He's been holding
three
patiently.
In here for sure.
How are you, Mark?
I'm doing well. How are you doing today, gentlemen?
We're good. Friday night across the capital. A big weekend of football on the way. And you're on the line to us. What more could we ask for?
Hey.
So what can we do you for, Mark?
We were just calling to talk about the unfortunate incident last weekend and the match yesterday. it's, you know, two highs and lows, obviously. You know, there's been a lot of debate about the Conte, Jorginho, defensive midfielder. And, you know, the way I look at it as, I don't think Conte has ever really played in that position. Even under when we had Conte as a coach, I think it was Spurs away.
He has. Mark, apparently, because I did my research, as you'd expect nothing less from a professional like me. In other words, I read somebody's blog, basically. But apparently he has. When he played in France, I think the first team he played at, he played in right midfield there. But,
Reims he played
for? I can't remember the
Lille.
Name of the club. No, can't remember the first club he played for. But
was it Cannes?
I can't remember. I'll tell you what, if you really want to know about this, there's a guy called Seb Chapuis, something like that, who's a bit of a coach. He's a lot of Chelsea followers, Chelsea fans follow him on Twitter, but he wrote that. I tweeted out an article that Greg Johnson from Football London wrote last week, and he had a link to this bloke's blog, which predicted all of the things that are happening before our eyes now about a year ago. I mean, it's astonishingly detailed and very technical and tactical, but if you can bear it, it's worth a read. So dig out my retweet and you'll find it.
He prophesied it.
I'll check that out.
Yeah. But, I mean, the whole thing about Kante and Jorginho for me, I mean, I've been really wound up all week, actually, because, you know, every pundit, you know, Uncle Tom Cobley and all, an ex-player being saying, oh, he should play him, you know, put Kante in defensive midfield, you know, the defence. Sarri does not play with a defensive midfielder. He will not play a defensive midfield. It is not going to happen. It is an ex-parrot. I mean, you know, to quote the wonderful, it ain't going to happen, you know. It's not going to happen. Yeah. We might like the idea of it, but if you put Kante as DM, then wave bye-bye to Sarismo, because it's not part of his plan.
And I also think that even if Kante had played in that role, we still lose that match. It was more than just one person playing, you know, the way I see it. Yep. And, you know, I know a lot of people say, well, does he have a plan B? I mean, we don't even really have plan A down yet.
But he had a sort of plan B towards the end of the game when he played Giroud further up. And suddenly, as Pilicueta got a lot of room down the right-hand side, and I was trying to work out exactly what he did. I'm not even sure that I know. Chidge, do you know what he did in that instance? When Giroud scored, and as Pilicueta had a large amount of room, was it that Spurs were knackered? Or what had happened?
Well, it could be.
He'd replaced Morata with Giroud, obviously.
It could be that.
And he was playing further forward. I wonder whether they started pressing better.
Yeah, maybe they did. But,
occupies the centre-backs as well.
Yeah.
He is a proper centre-forward. He's not just going to be offside or be on the ground. So he also links up the play well. So I think it eases the pressure on everyone else when the striker actually does striker things.
I mean, Mark, I've got a question for you. I know you listened to the show we did on Monday where we went into this in granular detail, but for me, Sarri is not going to change. He's going to live or die by this whole Sarismo thing. He's an ideologue and he has a philosophy. He's not going to change it. I wonder, given that this is the Premier League, given that he doesn't have, I think, the players that are capable of playing the way he wants, a lot of square pegs and round holes, do you think his stubbornness might be his downfall?
I think it could be his downfall only in the concept that we aren't going to give him time to implement his scheme and also back him with the players that he needs. Because for me, the biggest issue is that we just don't have any pace on the flanks. You know, Azpilicueta, I love him. He's not going to beat you, and he's not going to take you one-on-one. And you can say the same thing for Alonso. They're not going to try and beat on the edge. So we're constantly having to back pass back and forth. And you can mark him, Jorginho, a lot easier when the fullbacks are basically aren't going to beat you going forward. You know, that is the biggest issue I see. And I think it affects Conte as well, you know, when he's playing. If you put him with someone that has a little more pace and could run with him and could move better with him, I think that side of the field would open up and we would see Conte be able to open up more as well and play better.
Are you suggesting that they'll never ever be able to play Sarri's system because they're not speedy enough? Because if you look at, well, I keep going back to this, if you look at the Napoli side, the speed with which the ball is passed around is phenomenal.
Yes, if you want to talk about peak Sarismo, where you basically work the ball around the whole field and then you basically pass it across the goal and one guy taps it in, I don't see that happening with the current squad that we have, unfortunately.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, they somehow pray and are blessed with better physical attributes.
Brilliant.
And even with the goals we give up, they're just out of, you can tell Alonso, I mean, when Son scored that goal, I didn't even see him in the picture. Like, I had no idea where he was.
Yes, he was nowhere to be seen, was he?
It was insane.
Yeah.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you so much, Mark, for giving us a call and staying on the line this evening. Mark from Cincinnati, Ohio. You can be on air as well. 0208 70 20 558. Come on and talk Chelsea with us.
558 AM. Love Sport.
Cardiff 0, Wolverhampton Wanderers 0 in the Premier League so far. 11 and a half minutes gone there at the Cardiff City Stadium, and Cardiff really on top. Wolves, not looking at their best. Palomine highlighted to me, you know, the other day that they seem like a team that's really up for the big games.
But Cardiff.
No, Wolves.
Wolves, the Wolves.
They can't seem to do it against, you know, some of the smaller clubs, and they can't seem to grind out some results.
Yeah, but hang on a minute. You know, remember the ding-dongs these two sides had last year in the Championship?
Well, no, it was just the last minute.
Yeah, but they were you know, they're different style, but closely matched in a way.
I'd agree. I think Wolves have a slightly better quality of play.
Oh, hell yeah. You know, they're a much better side.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, they are, period, end of.
Let's look ahead to Chelsea's game this weekend, up against another team that was promoted last year in Fulham. They've dispatched with one former Chelsea player in Slavisa Ivanovic and brought in a former Chelsea manager in Claudio Ranieri. How much are you looking forward to welcoming him back to the Bridge? Of course you did while he was at Leicester City, but he's managing Fulham now.
Yeah. We've got no axe to grind with Ranieri. He got a wonderful reception when he came back with Leicester when they, you know, pretty much had won the title. Well deserved. I think we gave him a guard of honour. I might be wrong, but I love him. I met him. He's a lovely guy. He's absolutely bonkers, but don't underestimate him. He's a very good coach. I'm pleased for Fulham too, actually, because we'll get onto this later, but, you know, I've got quite a soft spot for Fulham, really, and I love going to their ground for the away fixture. It's a wonderful old school ground.
A bit chilly, though, off the
river.
Blooming
freezing.
Yeah, the wind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ooh,
but it's
where your comms.
A great old school ground, and I think he'll keep them up. I really do.
Is he the kind of guy who's going to keep them up and then show them with, you know, a bit of progression next year? Are we going to see Fulham actually push, or can you see them lurking around down the bottom echelons of low reaches?
I see
right.
them
the
being
table.
Relegated myself.
Really?
Really?
Yes, I don't think he has any great ability to to change anything that's going on there.
He turned a team that had just...
It was the theory, though, that...
stuck around.
Pearson was the great manager the year before.
But,
and in fact, that he just nudged him along, in fact.
I don't know.
I heard that. I heard that from the horse's mouth.
Who was the horse?
Oh, I can't remember the name. Fred Gigi.
What do you make of that?
No, I'm not a fan of Ranieri. I'll tell you why. Because I think I've said this before. We had a sweepstake on him, and to see what team he would pick, and nobody got it right. Nobody won it because he changed it so much.
The Tinker Man.
He wasn't called the Tinker Man for nothing. JK.
Yeah.
Given what we witnessed, I mean, I have concerns about this game. I kid you not. I really do.
Do you?
I do.
I think we'll have no problem at all.
No, I have some concerns, but I was kind of thinking that, you know, if you hark back to last week, I think there's a few issues here. One is, I mean, really the first one is it all about Fulham and their ability to contain Jorginho and Hazard?
Or, will we be seeing that?
Or is it just our strikers' inability to score?
I think it's a combination of the two.
Is it C, all of the above? There you go. You just passed the multi-guess quiz.
Thank you very much. No, but I think not having a striker who puts the ball in the net and is offside all the time and falls over really contributes to the lack of confidence in the side, particularly when they do create chances or they do create a half chance, because he can't even put in a full chance, let alone a half chance, other than the time he had when he got a decent centre, because I think one of the arguments was that he wasn't getting any centres.
Well, you've got to be honest, last night proved that theory correct, because it was a beautiful cross. Remember who put that ball in last night? It wasn't Zappa Costa, was it? The person I've been coating off for weeks.
I hope not.
Anyway, whoever, it was a wonderful cross and a very, very good header. And do you know what? The other thing
I noticed, softest cheek.
It might have been. You know what I noticed about that? Because I was watching Morata, actually. I was doing
my own.
You remember that thing that Sky used to do?
Play on your own, that's right.
Yeah, I kind of do that occasionally. I don't watch the ball. I'll just watch an individual player. And I was watching him, and I watched him move into the area. And the way he ran, he kind of was like going side to side, a bit like the Crazy Ivans. And then he had the two-set Crazy Ivans. Have you never watched Hunt for Red October? It's when they submarine, suddenly veers left, and then suddenly veers right, so you don't know where they're going, right? But that's what he
imagine being chased by a crocodile.
Yeah. Yeah?
No, thanks.
No. Anyway, but what he did, he kind of ran into space between the two central defenders. So classic textbook number nine play, you know, dividing them, basically, so neither of them could mark him, and it was a great header. So, you know, I think stick a ball into the box for him in the air, and he will score.
One hopes someone doesn't guess hit what? The first man every
guess
time.
What, JK?
What's that?
How many times do we see that happen when Willian and Hazard are on the pitch?
Not enough.
Because they always cut inside, which is exactly what Ruud Gullit was saying. So, in other words, if we're going to get crosses in the box, it has to come from Azpilicueta or Alonso. Because he won't come from Hazard and Willian.
Well, that's not their role then, is it?
Exactly.
He wants them to cut inside.
Well, I think Sarri, I've seen this written somewhere as well, that actually that's what he wants and expects from his fullbacks, that they are doing that.
They're the people
doing
the
centering. Hazard and Willian, by cutting inside, create the space for them to go down the flanks and
gives an option for the ball if necessary. Yeah. The ball then gets a second phase ball coming off.
But they
off.
Don't have the pace, which goes back to what Mark was saying.
Yeah.
You know, so there we go. So what was I going to say? The other thing I've got an issue with, or I'm worried about, is how, I wonder how, given what a shellacking that was last... I mean, you know, let's not sugarcoat this. It was... That could have been a rout. And we know that. I just wonder how their confidence might have been dented by that. If this is a side...
Well, no, I thought the reaction at Pauk was very good. If that was the reserve team... I know, completely. Yeah. But nonetheless, they still played with an intensity that had been lacking the week before. And that's what... I think he would have been saying to them in these chats he's been having with them, these 5-minute or 10-minute chats. You've got to be more determined. You see, they found lacking in determination, Sarri said.
It's one game, though. That's the thing. That's how I'm looking at it. Granted, you know, it wasn't a good performance from Chelsea, but it's one game. You know, we're looking at isolated incident, hopefully, for Chelsea, and not sort of, you know, a full-blown epidemic of bad form. You know, obviously it's going to be interesting to see how things go against Fulham, you know, a lot tougher opposition than Pauk, but I can see you guys, you know, doing well against them. I can't see Fulham being much of a test.
I think part of it was Spurs, though, as well. It was the fact we lost to Spurs.
Yeah, but I think that hurts us more than it does the team.
Of course.
I agree completely. I don't think they've got a clue.
But I was just thinking, really, in terms of the fact that, you know, let's be honest, this is a team that was riding very high on confidence, were probably believing in their own hype a bit. You know what football players are like. And yet the reality is that they are still coming to terms with how to play for Sarri, and we've been told for weeks and weeks that they're not there by him himself. And then they get an absolute pasting, really, which they did. And I just wonder, I mean, they, as you said earlier on, they fell apart, you know. So I was just wondering, I wonder what that's going to do to them mentally. And on the other hand, this is what Sarri always says, isn't it? You know, he says the thing that they've got to get around their noodle is that they've got to come out with the right mentality. And I think they did last night against Power.
From the very beginning.
Yeah. And I did wonder when I saw that, I thought, maybe that message sunk in this week, you know. Get on the front.
And many of them didn't play.
Yeah.
I have to say, I was disappointed in Barkley's performance last night, who I didn't think was, as I think since he's been lauded, praised as being this, you know, back to his best, he hasn't quite been on the ball.
I'm going to disagree with you there. I think... Compared to some of his other performances, you could say that. But I actually thought he was playing a very different role last night. I actually thought he played a very disciplined game last night. And I think the fact of the matter is you've got Loftus-Cheek there. And I think Loftus-Cheek had far more licence to go and do what Loftus-Cheek does, which is to, you know, create havoc wherever he goes, but not really bother about defending much. And I thought that Barkley played a really good counter role to Loftus-Cheek. Okay. I thought he was really... I watched him very close. Remember, I was sitting a lot closer than I normally do.
How
last
can you
night.
Watch both Morata? Oh, I suppose different types of stages of the
I've
game.
I've got eyes in the back of my head, JK.
Okay. Have you got a third eye? Does that work?
Yeah, I have a fourth
eye. I don't know what know where that is. Where is that one? Do you have to bend over and turn round?
Something like that.
Yeah.
Chaps, there's been a goal in the game at the Cardiff City Stadium. It's come for Wolverhampton Wanderers.
No, we don't at all, actually.
Not at all.
No.
You may not, well, but other people may.
What, you mean Chelsea fans who are listening to this show who actually secretly support Wolves or Cardiff? Yeah.
They love the shirts. Interestingly, why have they got those yellow shirts now instead of the old gold colour? What's going on? What's happened to traditions?
Just aren't made like they used to be. What kind of a question is that for me?
Well, I thought you might know it.
I'm not exactly a seamstress, am I?
No, but you might have a knowledge of, you know, why Wolves have changed the colour of their shirt.
They have just changed manufacturer of shirt.
Are they a different gold? Because it's supposed to be old gold.
It's not gold at all, it's yellow.
It's supposed to be old gold.
Yeah, it's supposed
to be
old gold.
They're playing in white today.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Are they playing with white with red and white socks?
No.
That's what they used to do.
They look like Real Madrid.
They really do peculiar. As well look like Real Madrid. Yeah. Cardiff 0, Wolverhampton Wanderers 1. Matt Doherty with the goal for Wolves. And Nuno will be very, very, very happy with that. Plenty of Movember tashes lurking around on the field as well. So, I know you do. Plenty of Movember tashes. You have, plus the goatee. 8:22, we'll be back with more on the Fulham game. Plus, hopefully, we're getting closer to that quiz.
Giving your team a voice. Love Sport Radio. 5:58 AM. Love Sport.
This is the Chelsea Fancast on Love Sport Radio. Good evening. It's Friday night.
It is, mate. Friday night.
I'm looking forward to the weekend. The weekend's action. Let's carry on with our preview, the definitive preview to another London derby for Chelsea. Looking ahead to it. How do you see the Blues on it? I mean, Fulham's defence is a shambles.
Well, they are.
This is an opportunity for...
Yeah.
Dare to say, Morata.
Well, I don't know about
to
that.
To potentially...
Is he going to start him, do you think?
Well,
he is more the, yeah, the he's more the he's more the Sarri
mate,
player.
I know. I mean, look. The reality is, I think that Sarri is going to start exactly the same 11 that lost against Spurs last week.
Yeah.
Personally, I wouldn't. I would certainly start Giroud instead of Morata. I would probably start either Barkley or Loftus-Cheek instead of Kovacic, and I would start Pedro instead of Willian. But I don't see him doing it. I really don't. And I think it's beginning to drive me up the wall, because I mean, I know you shouldn't read too much into stats, but we found out on Monday, didn't we, that Hazard... what was it? That Hazard hasn't scored a goal while he's been playing with Morata. There was somebody who was trying to read stuff into that. But, I mean, the reality is, if you watch the games, you can see how frustrated Hazard gets by Morata running into the wrong space or running the wrong line or being offside like he is all the time. So, you know, frankly, you should be earning your place on merit.
Not through a haircut.
Not through a haircut making you look like something of actually the football factory.
According to Twitter, he's had that haircut cut a lot in the past when he's been scoring goals. Perhaps it's his goals haircut.
Yeah, but it's more absolute baloney, isn't it? It's like, oh, I'm struggling for form, so maybe if I get my haircut, it'll all come back. Just concentrate on being a decent footballer.
Well, if he starts suddenly becoming excellent, we'll all say, it's the haircut.
Yeah, but I'm not into that rubbish.
No, I'm not either.
But the bottom line is that, you know, watching Giroud, a man who's almost as old as me, run his heart out for the side last night. I mean, the press was starting with Giroud, and he wasn't just doing it because, you know, a lot of strikers, they kind of like pretend to do that, you know, because they know they're not going to get a tackle in and they know that it's bit of a kind of a forlorn hope, so they kind of make that run to make them look like they're busy, knowing that they're not going to make any impact, and just go, well, I've done my bit. But Giroud didn't. He did it like he meant it. He was busting a lung to press and try and get the ball off the defenders, and managed to a couple of times.
He got injured, didn't he? One moment.
So I think if you were picking the side on merit, you would pick Giroud. And I'm not just talking about his goals. I'm talking about the effort that he makes in the press, which is fundamental to Sarri's play. I would say the link-up play that he provides, because he's a much better link-up player, because he's got more strength and more nous, and he doesn't fall down like a fairy every time a centre-half gets near him, you know. So,
but is it the
speed
thing?
It's got to be Giroud for me. Yeah, but speed is pointless if the guy's running into offside positions
all the time. I'm not.
That's the only way
Morata.
He gets ahead
I'm just
of him.
Saying
I think.
You wonder whether neither of them is the ideal player for Sarri.
But you know, speed
it's
is
definitely
also
not Pusilic.
Well, I'm not even going to go there. But I mean, you know, speed is, I think, a prerequisite if you are playing counter attack. We don't play counter attack. You know, it's all pass and move and running the lines. So actually, somebody surely who can hold up the ball and link other players in who are running in behind is as important. And I think that's what Giroud can do. And he's just scored two goals. Okay, against a pub side, but he's just scored two goals. And he scored against Spurs last week. You know, so when do we come to this point where we say, look, Morata just needs to go and sit on the bench for a while and come on and prove it all over again. Let's, you know, Giroud's the starter, Morata's on the bench. And is it the fact that he costs so much money that there's pressure to play him and make it work? Or is it because they're fearful that they're going to destroy his confidence? I don't know, but if you're a football supporter and you know a bit about football, you've got to look at that and say, that's nuts. Really, haven't you?
Yeah. We have a long line of.
I've watched a lot of rubbish forwards at Chelsea, so I know what I'm talking about. I was just about to say that.
Is this the Chelsea forward curse?
Exactly.
You know, I remember when Hernan Crespo came in.
No, he played all right,
Hernan Crespo was brilliant for us.
He went out on loan.
Because he was unhappy in London. He had issues, family issues.
Yeah,
and
it
stuff.
Wasn't to do with his
mate,
ability.
Mate, he was super. Kesman,
how many goals did he score against Wolves? Got a hat-trick against Wolves, yep, didn't he? 5-0
there
away.
There was nothing wrong with Hernan Crespo. He was superb. But he didn't like London. He didn't settle. His wife was unhappy. Shevchenko was crocked. He was not the player he was because he had an injury that basically should have finished his career. Yeah. He wasn't really any good for us. Scored a great goal against Spurs, obviously.
He did. As did Wright Phillips that game as well. Yeah.
But, you know, Torres, not the same player that played at Liverpool.
No. Chris Sutton, not the same as Blackburn.
Awful.
Robert Fleck, not the same as he was at
Joe
Norwich.
Allen.
Joe Allen, not the same as he was at Hartlepool.
Alan Mays,
not the same as he was at Swindon.
Yeah. who else have we had that have been really duff? Loads.
Derek Kevin,
Paul
not Pierre the same
Luigi
as he was.
Luigi had that injury.
Tony Cascarino.
Cascarino.
Yeah, but he got really horribly injured. Yeah, I think he'd have been okay. Yeah.
Did you see I threw in injury. Derek Kevin there?
You did. I ignored
1963.
That. Not Derek Smithers.
No, Derek Kevin. It's Smithers. Well, he won a European Cup winners' cup medal. He was from Australia.
South Africa.
South Africa? You're right. He thought he was.
So why I gave a Midlands accent?
You did. Why gave me an Australian accent?
Probably because it reminded me of Smithick.
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 Smithers.
That's right. Yeah, Derek Kevin, he played for West Brom. and playing for England, and Doherty bought him. Yeah. And it Tim Rolls is the man to talk to yep. about this, because he's with his Doherty's Diamond book, which is excellent. And he didn't fit in at all. He didn't score. And he didn't like running around much. Similarly, he liked being a target man. You know, however. People being picked for the wrong reasons, and then Doherty's playing all this wonderful, similar one touch with advanced fullbacks, which was completely novel for the period. And Kevin is supposed to run, you know, and clearly he's not particularly fit and doesn't enjoy the training sessions he's having. So at the end of the year, he's off, and he goes. I can't remember who he went and played for, but he went and played for some team or something like up north and scored 28 goals or something. Yeah. You know, it's been completely
forever,
different. Yeah, forever with Chelsea.
I know.
There you have it. Very
Tommy Lawton, here's another one.
Problem. Tommy Lawton was okay to an extent for us. He put a lot of people on the gate. I mean, he was a legend when he joined
was,
us.
Yeah, 47, I think.
Huey Gallagher.
He was
good.
Yeah.
There's some great. We've had some great strikes. Anyway, we could do this for 2 hours just talking about this. You'd be very happy about that, wouldn't you, Aaron?
Yeah, I certainly would.
Do we have somebody else on the line?
We're going to be getting an opposition view.
Yeah.
Are we?
Very, very sure.
Opposition view.
Are.
This is Love Sport. The Opposition View on Love Sport.
Yeah, welcoming him on to the Chelsea Fancast. Welcoming on to the Chelsea Fancast. In fact, we like to give you a bit of an opposition view. And on from Cottage Talk tonight, Emilio Dinello. Emilio, good evening.
Good evening there. Hi there. How are you guys?
Yeah, not bad. Thanks for joining us. It's been an interesting few weeks for Fulham fans. Of course, Slavisa Jokanović departing and Claudio Ranieri coming in. What are your first thoughts on Slav leaving and a win for Claudio?
Absolutely. It's disappointing, but at the same time, there's a bit of relief and looking forward to a new era, really. You know, we had all the joy, all the hysterical euphoria back in May. We got promoted. Slav was a genius. You know, got us 17th this time last season. Look, and he got us into the playoff final. And we won against our friends down at Villa Park. But, you know, all good things have to come to an end sometimes. You know, we have been struggling. We've spent a lot of money. You know, tactically, he was changing the lineup week in, week out. We weren't getting results on the pitch. We've spent a lot of money. I think we've got a good enough squad there to survive in this division. And it just wasn't working. You know, tinkering, doing a Claudio Ranieri effect, we tinkering week in, week out. It just wasn't working. And, you know, I just think we needed some change. We needed a breath of fresh air. And I think Mr. Ranieri is an ideal candidate for the job. I think he's very calm. He's measured. He's obviously got experience at this level. But I just want him to rejuvenate the team and give a bit of belief and confidence, because the players on paper are good. The squad is better than some of the teams around us at the bottom. But It's results that do the talking, not the style of football. And you know, I'm happy to compromise on the maybe on the brand and style of football if it means we survive this division. That's the key. We've got to stay in this division.
Emilio, it's Chidge here. I agree with you. I think you've got some really good players, and I think it's a shame for you that Jokanović didn't manage to gel them together in the way that perhaps one felt that he would. I mean, you know, Schürrle, obviously I'm going to say I think he's a good player. Mitrovic is a good striker.
I don't think he's a good player at all.
No, I do.
Oh, okay.
I do. Well, he scored a hat-trick at the Cottage,
out,
mate.
Just in another game. Yeah.
You piped down, Sonny Jim, over there in the corner.
That was the only game he actually looked
not you,
good.
Not you, Emilio. That's Jonathan, I'm talking
about. The Fulham game was suddenly we thought, oh, yeah, he's playing well.
Mate, how many World Cup winners' medals have you won?
Well, that's
won?
The trouble. He went round after he won the World Cup. He had a shot from the halfway line every single time he played.
I'm having a chat with Emilio.
Okay, I'll shut up.
Anyway, I mean, I'm sticking by Schürrle being a good player. Jonathan can punch me later. Mitrovic, a goal scorer, you know, good striker.
Player. I like him.
Sessegnon, massive prospect. And you know, very good player too. Brilliant against Southampton.
Not quite good enough for the Premiership.
Kearney, another good player. Seri. So you've got some good players. But what I reckon is that your defence still looks a wee bit shaky. I mean, you let in two against Southampton last weekend. So how are you going to keep us out?
You know, that's my worry. I just think, you know, we've got the worst defence in the league by a country mile. Even last week, you know, there were some signs that we competed. I think defence is going to take several games, if not several weeks, before we start to see them being a little bit more organised, you know, getting consistency with them. And rapport at the moment, every single week, Jokanović was changing that back four. You're never going to start learning and building rapport, you know, side by side if you've got constantly different players around you. So, you know, I think Broadpart Mawson, I think, is there to stay. I think he's going to grow into that role. He's got the makings of being a very good defender. But the rest is these guys are going to take time to adjust. We've got goals in our team, and the problem is if Ranieri can organise a team better, play less expansively, play a little more tighter. Then we can compete. We've got to compete, especially away from home. We've been conceding goals for fun, and that's, against any team. Even Southampton, we conceded two against a reasonably decent Southampton team, and they were unlucky not to come away with a point, if not more. But I don't think we're going to win. Let's be very frank. I think we're going to struggle. But if you play Giroud up front instead of Mirandra, I think that's where the danger is going to be. I actually think he's an underrated player for Arsenal. He's an underrated player for you, and I think his strength in the air, his hold-up play, his good organisation. He brings Hazard into the game. Them two link up particularly well. And I just worry that he will cause our defence a lot of problems. He's very intelligent. He's a very intelligent player.
Do you think that Ranieri would be able to get Anguissa to justify the transfer fee?
Yeah, he's been shocking since he's joined. And
yes.
Whichever way you look, he's actually injured. So he won't be playing this Sunday.
Is he? Okay,
but
he's
coming back from an injury. But he just looks, I don't know, his passing is abysmal. But Ranieri will very much focus on the simplicities of the game. Keep it tight, keep ball, pass, defend well as a unit, play as a team. Don't play as individuals, play as a team. And that's how Ranieri won the Premier League for Leicester a few seasons back. He was very organised, focus on defence, plays old school.
And they had a wonderful player in Vardy just playing the ball down the pitch to them, it'll be a different style of football to have done when they played under Leicester with Fulham, obviously.
Emilio,
just
a quickie before we have to disappear for a quick break, but
sure.
I know it's a derby, and I mean, we have, one of the closest two clubs together. But I mean, for me, a local kind of London derby's got a bit of edge to it, and I'll be honest with you, I've never really felt that between Fulham. I mean, personally, I don't really have. I can't find anything
me
to hate
neither.
About Fulham at all.
No, you're right.
I used to go. My dad supported Chelsea, and we used to go and stand in the cottage when Chelsea were away.
Yeah.
I always remember my most famous stat between the two clubs was back in 82-83 when we missed promotion to the top flight by a point when we got picked by Leicester City. In that season, we drew both games home and away to Chelsea. And had we won one of those two games, instead of drawing both, Chelsea would have got relegated to the 30 and Fulham would have promoted to the then First Division.
But
that was then. That was a fact. The fact we drew both games and we threw that promotion season away. And then the ties are somewhat reversed since then. But it's like a friendly as opposed to a rivalry. So I think Chelsea fans, on the whole, actually like Fulham fans.
Yeah. We do. We like Fulham immensely. Did you know that at the end of the game in the 50s, the Dear Old Pals song was played at the end of At the Cottage? Dear Old Pals, Jolly Old Pals. That was played at the end.
I'm sorry, Emilio. Jonathan was actually there
was
at Chelsea's first match in 1905.
I'm that old. Yeah.
But basically what you're saying, Emilio, is that it kind of works both ways. You don't really have any enmity for us.
They hate us.
Well, that's what I'm asking him. I mean, does it work both ways or not?
I might be in the minority, but to be honest, whenever we were in the lower flight, I've always got soft spot for Chelsea.
Yeah, you are,
mate. I've been in the two grounds for many years, for most of my life. So to be honest, I wanted my local team, other than for them, to do well in cup competitions. Yeah. Obviously not against us, but I was never against Chelsea. I was always hoping they would do well for the local area and for the community. So I might be in the minority Fulham.
You are. You're a lovely Fulham fan.
My view is the Queen's Park Rangers and probably Brentford are probably our biggest local rivalries as opposed to
Fulham. Right.
But we've had a few good results at the Bridge while we're in the Premier League. We've got some good draws up there. We haven't actually ever won at the Bridge in the Premier League, but we've beaten you only once in, 13 seasons?
Yeah, 79 was the last time you won, mate. Listen, what's the prediction tomorrow? What's the prediction going to be? What's the score going to be? What do you reckon?
People know me well. I'm an honest guy, So I think Chelsea will win, not comfortably. I think it'll be a 2-0 win for Chelsea. If we can get a goal here, I'd be happy. But the key thing is, as long as we compete, make it difficult for you, stretch your forwards, I'll take that. And then we take that to Leicester City at home on Wednesday night. That's giving play with confidence, maturity, start getting a bit of stability in the team. And, then we've got a chance of surviving this league. But, as long as we play well and not be thrashed or play, like we did on Jukanovic the last few games, I'll take that. But I suspect Chelsea will be far too strong, and I'd be surprised if we don't win by a 2-goal margin.
Brilliant stuff. Thank you so much, Emilio Danello, from the Cottage Talk podcast. Chidge, when are we going to be doing your quiz?
In the next part.
Brilliant stuff. Advertise it again.
Well, we want to know, there are 31 players who have played for both Chelsea and Fulham, and we want to know who they are.
0208 70 20 558 at Love Sport Radio on Twitter if you want to tweet us. We're not accepting pigeon mail. It just got too out of hand last week. It really, really did. Quiz up next. Right, time for your quiz.
Not yet. No. Patience.
Okay. All right. Patience. We're not time for the quiz yet.
Not yet. No, all will be revealed.
Crack on, Chidge.
Before we go to bed. Yeah. I just really wanted to pick up on what Emilio and I were talking about, which is, you know, they've got this great big thing on Sky, haven't they, on Sunday. What did you call it earlier on?
Showdown Sunday.
Yeah, that's right. Derby day, innit? You know, because you've got Arsenal, Spurs, you've got Liverpool.
0-0, 1-1, 0-0.
Liverpool, Everton, and you've got us. And we're kind of roped into that. But the point that we were making with Emilio is that, you know, there's no... It's not like what a local derby should be like. They should be passionate, hostile, nasty, full of hatred, bile, and that's what it's about. You've got to hate them. And I don't hate Fulham.
No, but they hate us because we are Fulham, we are Fulham, Super Fulham, FFC, we are Fulham, yeah, Super Fulham, we are Fulham. And then there's an expletive
beep
followed by Chelsea.
Yeah, yeah. It's just a song. I don't really think.
No, but that's their big song at the beginning.
It's like the Spurs.
It's like the Liquidator and Spurs. It bigs it up.
You know, I was trying to think why there is not a rivalry like, you know, you have with Arsenal, Spurs, or Liverpool, Everton, or City United, or Leeds, Liverpool, whatever. And I think it boils down to this. We've hardly ever played in the same league as them throughout both of our histories. And we've never been, you know, competing for trophies, titles, or whatever, you know. So there's no kind of rivalry in that respect either. So I think if you get that, you don't play them much, and you don't, you know, then they're not jeopardising you winning something. I think that kind of takes the hostility out of it, perhaps. And we found that thing, didn't we? I showed you that bit of research that I did.
We've only been five seasons
exactly
in a row in the same division.
But the other thing, of course, is that I think London rivalries are complicated because, you know, we are supposed to hate Tottenham. And yet, if you ask a Tottenham supporter who they hate more out of Chelsea and
Arsenal,
they're going to say Arsenal every time.
Of course.
You know.
But everyone hates Tottenham.
Well, that's true, Aaron. That is very true.
Like West Ham hate Tottenham.
Yeah, but that
Chelsea
is true.
Man, you Tottenham. Hate Tottenham.
Arsenal hate Tottenham. To be fair, I was born in Tottenham, so I have no real affiliation.
Right.
Like, no real...
Well, go and get your noodle around this, right? Because I remember this when it came out. The 2012 Football Rivalry Survey. Fulham regard QPR as their main rivals. Chelsea as their secondary rivals, which I don't buy into at all. And then Brentford third. QPR fans identified Chelsea as their main rivals. Fulham second and Cardiff City, Stoke City third. Why?
What?
Yeah. Brentford fans chose Fulham as their main rivals, QPR as their secondary rivals, and Chelsea as their third. Dream on, QPR. And Chelsea fans did not list any of the trio from West London, instead selecting Arsenal, Tottenham and Man United. So there you go. QED.
I mean, Brentford fans do hate Fulham. Like, they really don't like Fulham.
But we don't care about any of them. Because we never really played them much.
Yeah,
exactly. That's my point.
In the Championship, it's quite the rivalry.
It is.
You know? It's quite a tasty affair.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The old West London derbies in the Championship, they're quite tasty.
Again, you know, the reading I was doing earlier on, and I forgot all about... I don't know if... Do you remember this? I don't. Because, I mean, we haven't played Fulham that much recently. But when we played them in March 2006...
No, I don't remember this.
Fulham beat Chelsea 1-0 for the first time in 27 years. So I lied about the fact they haven't beaten us in 70 years. Anyway, with a goal from Louis Boamorte, the match was marred by controversy and crowd trouble and has arguably rekindled the derby. So there's been a bit of ag there.
I remember it well. I remember even a friend of mine abusing me as I came out of the... I don't mean came out as in, you know, like that. As in Craven Cottage, when I was leaving Craven Cottage. He And he said, it's foreign money and you're winning everything.
But that's envy.
I know, completely. Of course,
that's not. That's
hold on.
That appeared to be.
Got foreign money now.
Well, they had foreign money at the time. They had fired.
Yeah.
Let's be fair. He ploughed money in when he first went in there, buying Van der Sar, Leguinski, all these different players.
Jealousy, wasn't it? Because Chelsea somehow
we
managed
had more
to,
money.
We well, won, no, he well, stopped.
We, yeah, but we're a bigger club.
Well, we got a better manager in as well.
You know, yeah. It's funny.
What was his name? Seeks, wasn't he the manager at the time?
Didier Seeks.
Yeah, Seeks.
Didn't they have Tresor? You know, who was the black manager they had? Famous French guy, brilliant player.
Yeah.
Jean Tigana.
Thank you, Tigana.
Well done.
Tresor? Yeah,
well
he
done.
Played in the same famous French team. I was lateral
toothpick, Jean Tigana.
It's lateral thinking. I threw celery at him at that semi-final at Villa Park, and I think I hit him.
Was it big stick?
Was it
the end of the celery?
No, it was one stick of celery.
Oh, right, but it wasn't the knob end, was it?
It wasn't the knob end, John.
Okay.
It was the
stump.
That can inflict pain.
It was the soft.
Yeah. Right. It is I.
Aaron's getting grumpy because he thinks I'm going to run out of time before we can do the quiz. So the choice is, Jonathan, do we eke it out a bit more?
I think we need to know what the score's going to be first.
Or do we do it now?
We need to know the score first.
What score? Nobody's got the whole 31.
No, for the game.
Oh, no, we have
that at
the end.
We do that at the end.
I didn't do it.
No, we do that at the end.
We will have that at the end.
No, we may not, because we need to do the Fulham thing.
Twitter has been absolutely rocking with this. I don't know what Love Sports was like, but Chelsea Fancos has been going off. I'll do it in reverse order. But I've got Martin Wickham has said Damien Duff. CFC Steve has said Roy Bentley, which is a good shout.
Should we add them all together?
No, I'm going to read them all out in a minute. Anyway, Idegard Johnson from Eddie McCready, 1977, and he also says he's been on fire, as you would expect. Lucas Piazon and Damien Duff. Dumble No More John says Callas. Fred Nelson says Clive Walker, or not quite put like that. Eddie McCready, 77, says Scott Parker. And on it goes. Here we go. Walt says Mark Schwarzer and Schürrle. Goldbeck's got a mention. This is a good one from Eddie McCready, 1977. Barry Lloyd, Teddy Maybank, Ray Lewington, Clive Walker and John Dempsey. And Waltz also said John Harley. Now, as my memory serves...
I've got...
What have you got?
Wayne Bridge.
Yep.
Perry Digweed.
Yes.
Oh, my goodness. Well done.
And it's just one of my favourite names.
Well done.
It's just one of my favourite names.
Have you got any more offers before I read the list out?
Roy Bentley.
Yeah, that's been mentioned.
Idegger Johnson.
Who mentioned that?
Somebody on Twitter.
Oh, okay.
Idegger Johnson.
Yep.
Who was the other one I mentioned earlier? I mentioned one earlier and I can't remember who it was. You were very impressed by it.
Should I put you out of your misery?
Oh.
No, wait.
Aaron's
wait.
Quickly looking at Wikipedia.
Wikipedia don't have it.
No.
Oh.
I looked already.
Gordon Davies.
Yes, you mentioned him.
Who was the other fella? Jerry...
Payton.
That's the one?
Yeah. Right.
Goalkeeper.
Yeah,
very good.
I'm going to tell you.
Irish.
Because we are running out of time. You're out of time. Okay.
My baby, my poor old-fashioned baby.
Yes.
Indeed. What? Baby, 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 you're out of time.
All right, shush, because the results are coming. Are you ready? Okay. This is kind of no particular order. Alexei Smertin.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He went there first.
Yep. Andre Schürrle, obviously.
Yeah.
Barry Lloyd.
Yeah.
Barry Lloyd. I don't remember him.
He ended up managing them.
Did he really? Yeah. Bjarne Goldbeck, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, we've had a late entry. Can I add it in?
No.
Oh.
No, told you. You're out of time. Clive Walker.
Yeah.
I forgot about Clive playing there. Damien Duff, obviously.
Yeah.
Dave Besant.
Yeah,
he went
that's
there
a
afterwards
good point.
After Chelsea.
Dave Besant. Yeah. See, Dave Besant should have been your first choice because he's played for everybody.
Yeah, it's true.
Right, Dave Besant. Doug Rugvi.
Can I just shout out Martin, who just tweeted that in as well. And I really think Martin should be given an extra bit of time because he's a cabbie and he probably had to pull over somewhere safe to...
If you're out of time, you're out of time. We've been talking about this for 2 hours.
It's true, I said the number 3 the other day and I got into such trouble, didn't I?
Yeah, anyway, shush. Yeah. Right, so Doug Rugvi.
Yeah.
Idegger Johnson, you mentioned that. Jerry Payton, Gordon Davies, mentioned that. Ian Pearce.
Oh yeah,
he scored
an
own goal.
Sendarby played for Blackburn as well, didn't he?
Scored an own goal at Old Trafford.
Yeah.
06-07.
Jimmy Allen.
Oh, I don't remember him.
No,
at all.
Nor do I. Joe Bradshaw.
Oh no, I think we're going a bit further back, aren't we? 50s.
We could be. I've no idea. John Dempsey, obviously, I know.
Dempse.
John Doherty.
I think that's 50s as well.
I was relying you to know some of the obscures.
Yeah.
John Harley, obviously.
Obviously.
Lucas Piazon, obviously.
Obviously.
Mark Schwarzer.
Mark Schwarzer, yeah, of course.
Now, I knew this one.
Yeah.
Paul Parker.
Yeah.
I know Paul. I work with Paul.
Yeah.
He's very funny. He's very grumpy, but in a funny kind of way. He's great if you have him on as a pundit. he just moans about everybody. I love him, love him. Anyway, he played once for Chelsea, did Paul Pogba.
He did, I remember, yeah.
Perry Digweed.
Was it a month's loan he was on, wasn't he?
I think it might have been.
Yeah, yeah.
I talked to him about it and he wasn't really prepared to talk about it.
Oh, that's a shame.
Tells you everything you need to know, really. Yeah. Anyway, Perry Digweed, obviously.
Yeah, I said that.
Yeah. Peter Buchanan.
Mick Harford.
Nope.
He didn't, okay.
Peter Feely.
Yes, remember that.
You remember that?
Yeah.
I'm impressed.
Yeah.
Ray Lewington, yeah. Roy Bentley, Scott Parker, Steve Sidwell.
Yeah.
Said that.
Teddy Maybank.
Of course.
Yeah.
Big up.
Terry Phelan.
Yes.
Oh. Yeah. Right, ready? Last two. Thomas Callas.
No, that was pretty obvious, that one.
Schoolboy era that we didn't think of that.
Didn't think of that.
And
yeah.
Wayne Bridge.
Yeah.
Wayne Bridge.
I forgot about Wayne Bridge.
I said that.
Did you say that?
Yeah, I said
that.
He did.
So there you go. So well done.
I mentioned Callas earlier, but I think... No, I didn't. No, I'm going to. Right.
Well done to everybody who put their answers on Twitter. It was much appreciated. That was fun. I like doing these quizzes. I like them.
Yeah.
Me too. They're thoroughly enjoyable.
And you've timed it perfectly as well, Chidge.
I'm a pro, mate.
We've just got enough time to say what the score's going to be on Sunday.
JK?
It's going to be 3-1.
I'm saying cautious 2-1.
I'll go for a 2-1 Chelsea. I think it's not going to be as open as people think. I think Ranieri will go there wanting to prove what he's all about, you know, and will want to sort of instill a bit more confidence into his side. I'm going for 2-1 Chelsea.
Mm. Yeah. Will it be the manager who the Greek manager aspect of it, or the... Because he managed Greece.
He was rubbish
at
Greece.
Oh, exactly.
Yeah,
he was rubbish in a lot of other places. It's a Chelsea fan cast on Love Sport Radio. Thank you very much.
Lovely.
Chaps, catch it on the website and via your regular podcast provider.
Love Sport.
It's the 90th minute. All your mates around. You've got your McNuggets share boxes ready to go. Your mates already got booked for double dipping and you steal the last nugget, snatching all 3 points. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. You in? At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Planning for your next trip? Elevate your travel style with Quince. Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/trip for free shipping and 365-day returns.